Knock, knock, guess who is knocking at your door? That's right, you know it's the morning for sure. Might be a geography, could be, maybe it's Mitt Romney. You know you love This Week in Mormons, original Mormon news. If you love Lindsey Sterling, Bryce Harper in Utah, and Jell-O salad foods, oh, you're gonna love this show.
Yeah, take it away, Earl. That's a Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban reference for
wait,
all of you.
Wait, have you seen the new Fantastic Beasts and where they're from in Azkaban?
I haven't. Have you seen the Fantastic Beasts?
No, I haven't. Let's go see them today.
Okay.
You go in your city.
You're in Utah.
And I'll go in mine.
I'll get on Periscope.
Then yes.
Yes. Or
and
Facebook
I'll
live.
I'll live tweet the whole thing.
I think this sounds delightful. We won't get in trouble in the theater at all.
Jeff, what's a 15-year-old kid going to say to you? You shouldn't do that.
It's very rare I've seen ushers in movie theaters in the past couple years. Every now and then in a really crowded premiere or something, I'll actually see them walk in with their little flashlight cones. But beyond that,
you can't pay a 16-year-old enough money nowadays to care that somebody is recording a movie.
No.
But it's fun. You can't. Growing up, I had some friends who worked at the movie theater. We always got hooked up. I got to go to the movies for free all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was good. It was a sweet deal.
Would they just like open the back door or they scam you through the front?
No, they're allowed to let friends and family in pretty generously too, at least back then. And so if we wanted to see a movie, we'd just call him up and he'd reserve tickets and we'd just go. Happened all the time.
Wow. Would you ever buy concessions so that the theater continued to make money?
No, never. I'm anti-concession.
Maybe that's why they went out of business, Jeff.
That theater is still there and catering exclusively to upper middle class people. It's doing a very good job. Uh-huh.
It's in Brea?
Yep, actually it is in Brea. Anyway, hey, welcome to This Week of Mormons, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us this week, and I'm glad that Al, of course, is back. He's feeling a little bit better, a little more with it.
Wait, who was on here last week? I missed that. I didn't even look.
Oh, we had Irene Stone on the show, Al.
Irene Kim Stone?
Yes, one of our contributors.
Was she nice?
She was nice. It's great because she drove me more, I think, I'm probably wrong, she drove me more to the center. Basically, when I'm with you on the show, I'm like the wacky liberal, or so it seems. But when Irene is on the show, I'm the sensible centrist. So it's great.
She thinks that Donald Trump is a Nazi?
Yeah, we don't need to go there, but there's still some raw wounds for a lot of people, and you know she's been struggling with the election stuff. I was trying
talked about the election. I thought we were done with that.
No, we talked mostly about the Mitt Romney stuff, how he might be considered for Secretary of State. It was Mormon relevant with some.
Can you still be the white horse saving the Constitution if you're Secretary of State? That's my real question.
I don't really know.
I don't know.
But this week, I'm hoping, I don't think we have much excuse to do anything political, which I don't mind.
Guys, we have weathered the storm. It took us only 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and now we don't care again. Good work, America. You've made it.
At least as far as Mormons go. I think people still care. But other than Mitt Romney floating around and maybe doing the Secretary of State thing, I guess.
I think you and I should go to North Dakota and protest on the lands of the Native Americans.
Get water cannoned in freezing
and get water cannoned, and then we'll have Mormon reason to talk about that for a while.
And we'll talk about how they water cannoned us because we're Mormon and how it was religious oppression.
Yeah. Sounds good.
We have to create the news. That's what
North
the media
Dakota does.
North
Dakota would be so cold right now.
I imagine it is, yeah. It's probably cold in Utah, isn't it?
No, it's like 60 degrees here. Nobody cares.
Oh, I don't know.
You can protest here all day and not even put on a coat. But you go to North Dakota, that's jacket and hat weather, and I'm not kidding.
In Fargo, it's currently 34 degrees at the time of recording.
It's not pretty, Jeff. And this is even during global warming.
Yeah.
Think what it would have been 10 years ago. Can you imagine how cold that would have been?
Oh, my. I can't even imagine.
I have a buddy who worked. He worked up there on doing some like oil field stuff.
Yeah,
And his job was to sit around until the truck would come, and then he'd like connect the hose. He had to run outside and connect the hose. He said it'd get down to like -40, and he was the overnight guy. And I'm like, your life is the worst. I'd rather work at Walmart.
There have been some very fascinating. I've read a lot of fascinating articles about North Dakota because of the oil sands they found there.
Yes.
But what it's done to the housing market in
that, it's a boom.
Yeah, so demand is way outstripping supply. And so you're in North Dakota where you assume you're going to be able to rent a place on the cheap. And instead, a one-bedroom apartment costs $3,000 a month.
No, it's San Francisco prices, is it really?
And like some rinky-dink town. I imagine it's subsided a little bit since the price of oil's slipped over the past year. But yeah, it's fascinating to watch because there's just no supply. And it's
classic. And also, it's going to be interesting when the oil boom goes away. Thank you, Elon. And all of a sudden, you have all these houses, these ghost towns that'll exist all through North Dakota.
It's going to come back once Trump gets rid of the Department of Energy and restrictions on this and that. Once the government's no longer subsidizing solar and wind power, don't you worry. Don't you worry, that oil will come
Elon
right back.
Elon will find a way. If he can get us to Mars, he can get us into the solar energy space.
My prediction is within 3 years, America will once again be driving Chevy Suburbans like it's 1998 and going out of style. It will be the dream.
Just burning gas to keep people employed.
6 miles to the gallon and
what
proud.
Up, lobbyists? That sounds pretty fun. Jeff, how are you? Are you well?
I'm mixed. I'll be completely honest with you. I'm well in general.
You're but, like a, on a red, yellow, green. You're yellow?
I'd say I'm a yellow, tilting towards a red.
Whoa, what's
but hoping, going on? Hoping to get towards green. No, stuff's fine. So a lot of people can probably relate to this. I sent out a picture on our Facebook page on Sunday as a joke about a hymn that was sung in church because we had ward boundaries were redrawn in our stake.
What was the hymn?
It was like on this day of joy and gladness, which was ironic.
I saw that. That was funny.
Ironic because the whole ward is sitting there feeling like they just got shellacked and like they broke up the band. So this was very massive, though. What my understanding is they created a new stake somewhere in the western suburbs of D.C. and Virginia, and that had a ripple effect across northern Virginia. And so all stakes all over the place reshuffled boundaries here and there. And in the process, long story short, we got put into a new ward that wasn't our stake, and then that new ward got put into the stake next door. So I got booted out of my ward and booted out of my stake.
Whoa!
In one fell swoop. And I'd heard rumblings that some changes might be happening, but none of us knew specifics. My bishop had a good poker face. He wasn't talking about it. And so we finally found out it was pretty it was more devastating than I thought it would be. I mean, I've been in the ward I was just in longer than any time since. Wait, probably
so you got released. You're not Elders Quorum president.
Yeah, like for my entire presidency, all of us are going to this new stake. All of us are in those boundaries. They wiped out the entire Elders Quorum presidency in the process.
Jeff, and this is a joy of gladness and
I, rejoicing. You would think, right? But it's been harder than I thought. Like, it's been a pretty emotional time, not just for me, for a lot of people. Like, for me, being released as Elders Quorum president, I kind of wanted to see it through under normal terms and just get released. Like, hey, job well done. We're releasing you. Instead, it's just kind of like, we are taking this away. Move along.
That was...
And that sucks. Like, I wasn't ready. Like, they actually asked me, do you have any recommendations for a new one? And I'm like, no, I wasn't thinking about this morning. Of course I don't have any recommendations, you silly monkeys. Why would I have a recommendation for you? For goodness sake. Give me some notice and I can think about it. But it was hard, man, because I've been in that ward, like I said, longer than any time since before my mission, actually. It's been a very long time. It's family to me. And it's... That is one of the hard things about
religion, right? I mean, the community element of the Mormon Church is that's so much of your friend circles and who you know and what you do, and
I don't hang out with my coworkers really. I pretty much hang out with my ward friends. That's pretty common amongst Mormons, I think. And a lot of other people hang out with their coworkers. I see all my coworkers off doing stuff all the time, and I'm like, no.
It's probably different too when you're married and stable, right?
Yeah,
like me,
for sure.
I wouldn't recognize a single person in my ward at this point.
You've also bounced around quite a bit. I mean, you haven't been.
I know. That's why, like, redraw the boundaries all you want. It's not going to hurt me. You can't hurt me, Jesus.
Yeah. This was all a good example of course, this stuff happens. And if you look at it at a macro level, it means the church is growing, the work is going forward. But it's hard when you get in at a micro level because you think, like, man, it's like we're just, these people will still be around, but like we're severing a lot of, you know, everyday relationships. And the other hard part is, we live in Alexandria. I've lived in the city of Alexandria the whole time I've lived in the D.C. area.
You're an Alexandrian.
And that's my jam. My ward was all in Alexandria. Yeah, that's where we hang out.
You guys understood each other.
And now we will be shunted over to a whole other stake that is not Alexandria. And life will go on, and I'm sure the other stake will be fine. I'm sure. But right now it's still the point when it's kind of like, well, this kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll get better and it'll be fine. But it's been, I've been more emotional about, weirdly, about losing my calling than I actually thought I would be. I figured I'd be like, well, this was a good ride.
Riddle me this. Have you shed a tear in relation to this?
Oh, yeah, totally. Whoa. I was asked to give the closing prayer in PEC on Sunday when the bishop told us about everything. And I got really choked up. Like, because I realized that would be the last PEC I'd be in with those people, and many of them I wouldn't see anymore. And I'm an emotional guy. I don't wear it, you know.
That's kind of cool, though. That's got to feel good to have the feels.
It was hard. And then I, you know, in Elders Quorum, I got a little self-indulgent and asked my counselors and myself, took some time just to do some testimony bearing like you normally would if you're released before we moved on. And that was like, that was tough. I had a hard time getting through just something as simple as that. It was hard, man. It's like,
back to the mission days.
A little bit. It reminded me in that way of, I remember when your family didn't pick you up, but I'm sure you had like a testimony meeting before you all left, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was that's a pretty emotional meeting.
At the Zone Conference, they'd always give the leaving missionaries space to come and bear their testimonies.
Yeah, mine too.
I sobbed through mine like a little girl.
Anyway, I shouldn't talk about it anymore because honestly, thinking about all this still gets it gets me like choked up, man.
Dude,
it's hard.
That's rough.
It's hard.
Man.
It's hard.
Sorry to hear that.
The work will go on and we'll be fine and everything will be good.
You had good friends there. You're going to make new friends in your new school.
I have kind of laughed though because the bishop in our new ward is like way on top of it. He's already calling all of us up and getting to know us and like trying to meet with everybody. Whereas my outgoing bishop, I think, is still doing one of the stages of grief. In that he's pretty much just sitting around eating ice cream and being sad about losing a bunch of his ward members.
Did he get more people, or is he just like...
His ward will be about the same numbers-wise, but the way they redrew the boundaries, they will not have nearly as many young married couples move in because they're losing a bunch of apartment complexes.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be more of a long-term... It's going to be hard. Anyway, sorry for the long story, folks, but it's tough.
Hey, that's rough.
You, my friend, though, how have you been? I never got to hear your recap of, you know, of Spain.
I was in Barcelona,
such.
Barcelona, yeah. Gracias, they would say. It was the most indulgent thing to listen to their sweet lisp that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I had a little Portugal. I was in Lisbon and then went up to Sintra.
Sintra looked cool. I never heard of it. And I remember I said, I Googled it. I was like,
they say like
cool
Casino Royale was filmed there, and they've got a bunch of palaces and apparently a bunch of tunnels that would connect the palaces and mines and explosives in the tunnels from people that were trying to like kill their cheating wives or the Nazis. I don't remember which.
Well, there has to be a punishment. So.
Then I went from there. Flew over to Barcelona and then took the high speed back to Madrid and then flew out of there. Madrid, I got there right as a bunch of tourists were hitting that city, and that place kind of sucked. But Barcelona was maybe one of my favorite cities in all of Europe.
And I'm sure there were no tourists in Barcelona.
There were, like, you'd walk the streets and nobody cared.
I mean, it's November, but
yeah, it was a great little time. Ate good food. I had my tapas and my paella from the market. And
oh, good. You had did you get paella from like the market, like La Boqueria? The one off the Rambla?
It was off of Plaza de Mayor.
Ah, in Madrid, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, Plaza Mayor.
Right. Plaza Mayor.
By the way, did I tell you I saw you put the picture of the fat Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was giving you heads up on things to check out, kid you not, I was going to say, in Plaza Mayor, there's like always been a fat Spider-Man guy there every time I've been there. I did not know it was so consistent that you would actually spot the guy.
He's amazing. He's amazing. And then, what else is really good? No, it was a blast, man. I had a good time. And then I came home a little sick, though. So I think, you know how, I don't know if you get this, when they serve you the sundae up in first class and they're like adding all the stuff to it and trying to put that together. I think the whipped cream might have been bad. I don't
First know. Class on the train or on the flight home?
On the flight, on the flight home, obviously.
You're so fancy.
I caught myself complaining because the beds are like 6 foot even, and I'm a solid 6'7", and so it wasn't right. as comfortable to lay down in first class for me. You know what it's like, Jeff.
I don't. I've never been in a lay flat.
You know what it's like.
Bed. I've always. It's one of those things I aspire to someday.
If we ever fly together, I'll let you come up and cuddle with me. It's pretty delightful.
Thank you.
I'll be like, don't worry, he's with me.
God. We had some friends recently who had to travel, and they took their kid, and the wife was traveling for business, and they put her up in first class, but her husband had to sit back and coach. So she's like chilling up there with their kid, sleeping, having a good time, and he's just stuck with all the peasants.
Hey, you got to do work if you want to get them perks. That's what they say.
Al, I am glad you enjoyed Spain. I was certainly living vicariously through you during that stretch. It's a lovely place.
Also, their Steak and Shake, surprisingly spot on.
I can't believe you went there.
I loved it. It was a great time. A milkshake right in the middle of Madrid.
That's what I get. I had no food suggestions for you in Madrid, unlike Barcelona. So, of course, you wind up at Steak and Shake.
No, Barcelona, you hooked me up. You had great food recommendations.
It's a good food town. A lot of good food in that
city. Madrid, I go with what I know. If they would have had a Wendy's, I would have never left the Frosty.
Like, here's a Steak and Shake. Oh, there's a McDonald's I see. Very nice. Very nice.
And that's the real deal. So we've got some Mormon stuff, Jeff.
It happens from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah. The main one, I think, is just the Hartford, Connecticut temple is dedicated. That's really, I mean, you guys came here to hear the news, and I'm going to give it to you. The temple is dedicated.
Tell me more. Who did it?
I don't know. Who cares who did it? It's done. Well, the fact is, it's done, Jeff. What do you want to know?
I want to know who dedicated it.
Well, it's Henry B. Eyring.
Oh, thank you.
Dedicated it this last Sunday, and he did his whole thing. Good for him.
What is the cultural celebration in Hartford, Connecticut? Do they celebrate the insurance industry? Because that's really all that's going on there.
In Hartford? You're just thinking of the Hartford.
No, it's called the Hartford. Hartford is actually an insurance hub. That's one of a big industry there. I'm not just making that up. That's legit.
I want to know what artifacts go into the Hartford cornerstone.
Do they put artifacts in the cornerstones like a time capsule?
Yeah, they sure do.
Are you sure? This isn't high school.
Let me see here. There's a cornerstone here. It already has artifacts that were put there. And we will ceremoniously seal it by putting in some mortar.
That's cool.
As you know, the Savior himself is the cornerstone of this work of the church. And of the church. Yeah, so they do that with every temple. I actually think that'd be a fun game to go and find that cornerstone. Just poke a little hole in it and just see what's in every one of them. That's a fun
game. It's not hard to find the cornerstones. They're labeled.
They're on the corner.
Yeah.
They might notice the mortar being chipped away, but
that really
because this is how they do it. They cement it in, but then you still get to put a little mortar on top. Mm-hmm. Then they go and wipe all that mortar off and fix it.
So I'm pretty sure that means in the Newport Beach Temple there'd be a copy of like a Fall Out Boy CD something.
Yeah,
Fall
Out Boy was real big. So in 100 years it'd be like, whoa, that was fun.
Sugar, we're going down swinging, huh? What does
going
this mean?
Down. Yeah.
Here's some great news. In Bolivia, a public eye clinic in La Paz has been renamed for
this
Thomas S. Monson.
This one goes out to all the ladies.
It used to be called the High Complexity Eye Bank Laboratory, which admittedly was a mouthful. They needed to find something new. And so they renamed it the Thomas S. Monson.
Banco de Osas, Thomas S. Monson, Iglesia de Jesucristo de los Santos de los Últimos Días.
It's a little confusing. So they call it the eye bank, Banco de Ojos, and then there's the church, and then there's also, of course, the National Institute of Ophthalmology, named for Dr. Javier Pescador Sargent, which means Dr. Javier Fisherman Sargent. But still, that's very exciting.
The clinic's guiding him, if someday you are covered by darkness, if your eyes cannot see the light, there is hope in us, the hope of seeing again.
Bolivia has 177,000 members of the church and one temple, folks. Something's not right there. What's Evo Morales done to these people?
Where did I... I was thinking Belize. I was like, there's no way. But Bolivia's different.
That's like a fifth of the population of Belize.
They would all be riding their golf carts to the temple. Just cruise in.
Oh, that would be delightful. Hey, good for President Monson. I want to have an eye clinic named after myself.
You should. You've earned it.
I deserve it. I've never been to an eye doctor.
Do you have any clinics named after you?
Not really. It's kind of sad.
Jeff, this can't go on. Let's see if I can get through this right. The BYU Idaho that we know and love has named its first female vice president.
Okay.
Amy blah blah blah. Her name is actually Amy LaBah, but I thought that was too good to pass up for a blah 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 reference. Is its new vice president, the first female named to such a position in the university's history. I would just say BYU Idaho, get with the times. BYU Hawaii has had female vice presidents for years and years. Looking at you, Sister Wright. Way to go.
What about BYU Provo? Have there been female vice presidents?
I would assume so.
Okay, so BYU Idaho's behind the times, but they also still ban, you know, sandals. Flip-flops,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. We always go right to the flip-flops. Flip-flops and shorts, no. Sex happens if you wear flip-flops, people.
Well, I think few things are as indicative of a strange honor code policy as banning flip-flops or shorts. I mean, that...
Or beards, just, yeah.
That said, when I was in Rexburg a few months ago, everybody was very delightful. Just service with a smile everywhere I went.
No, how?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's because there's such competition. If you're not smiling, they're like, get out of here. I got 1,000 other Mormons waiting to take your spot.
It's like you'd think they were all trained by Chick-fil-A, but there is nary a Chick-fil-A in all the land.
Or In-N-Out. I've been to both. Very happy folks.
When you drive from between Brigham City to get up to Idaho Falls, Rexburg area, there's not a lot in between. I mean, Pocatello, but in between there and Pocatello, there is nothing. You don't even hit McDonald's on the way. There's nothing out there. It's very lonely.
Ugh. Sorry.
Now, I'm excited about this, Al. I think this is a good sign of, you know, progress. It's not to say they wouldn't allow it before, but maybe they'll start trimming up
their eyebrows and wearing things that aren't just floor-length jumpers made out of denim. Come on, you BYU Idaho people. Get with the times.
Who knows what'll happen next, you know? Who knows what'll happen? Chancellor, a female chancellor. Do they have chancellors at BYU Idaho?
High counselors.
High chancellors.
Yeah, I believe is the term.
They all salute the chancellor?
Yeah, that's fair.
Just like Trump people.
Hey, whoa. You said no politics.
Couldn't help it. Hey, The Friend. You know The Friend, that church magazine? For kids.
Reminds me of all the friends you lost this week as you moved ward boundaries. Too soon?
It's so raw right now.
Sorry, Jeff.
Well, this wonderful children's magazine has been around for a very long time.
Back to the news.
And the church announced some changes for 2017.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a great article.
Who wrote this one?
Our new contributor, Mark Brendanowitz. He's a good guy. If you want to be a contributor to This Week in Mormons,
you
are welcome to email us, contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We always welcome contributions.
So the Friend, non-lead-containing paper?
Yeah, pretty much. So here are the main changes. Minor stuff, but they're trying to be more forward-thinking. So one, they have thicker paper, basically so crayons won't tear the paper, which is great. I don't know if that means the magazine itself will be thicker or if they dock the total number of pages to compensate. I'm not sure. They will have a Share a Heart campaign in which they encourage kids to take a picture of themselves with a heart and on the heart write like what they've been doing.
What they heart.
Worthwhile.
Yeah.
That's good. Like donating money to humanitarian groups, helping refugees. It's good. Get the kids involved in that stuff at a young age. There will be CTR challenges based on the theme. A reading chart, which is normal. Also a big thing, though, a bigger preteen section.
I think the main thing here is the paper that you can color on with crayons.
I think the bigger thing is they are doubling the length of the preteen section, recognizing that that's a group that's underserved and needs more attention because stuff starts to get real once you start hitting 12.
From one paragraph to two, We're changing lives. Well, that's pretty good.
Look, if you have kids who read The Friend, I don't. But if you do, stuff's happening, folks. Look forward to it in January.
So over on LDS Living, there was a hard-hitting article this week.
LDS Living is having the worst week with things.
I believe this is written by Peggy Fletcher Stack, but I can't confirm it. But they found these people...
under her pen name. It's true. It's only from LDS Living staff.
Under there's a Mormon family on Family Feud, and the word was grind, and her first suggestion was dancing, which made sense because that's what we're taught, is to avoid grinding, which is a very weird phrase and most people don't use. But then the Mormon element here is that the number one thing was coffee and grind, and they could not think of it. That merited a whole article. Thank you, LDS Living. Good work. Good work.
The great thing here is LDS Living tried to make it seem like the family gave a bunch of answers that were so Mormon specific. And yet it was just that they failed to say coffee. Because the first thing they said...
They got all the other ones.
Bunch of frisky Mormons thinking about grindy dancing.
It would be funny.
Private dancing.
It would be funny if they were like, the word is pet. Boobs. What?
Heavy.
No, we're looking for Labrador.
I like that.
Heavy.
Just get it. They should get nothing but a bunch of pent up BYU students to answer all these and let everything get inadvertently sexual, much like it does on this same show.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, I've got another quick one out of LDS Living that I just stumbled upon. The church, actually, the First Presidency, rather, has called 8 new visitor center directors for 2017. Just so you know, in case you've been to either the Pennsylvania Priesthood Restoration Site, the Park City Family History Center.
I would love to run one of those babies, man.
And other locales, the St. George Temple Visitor Center, the Cove Fort Site, the D.C. Temple Visitor Center, Historic Kirtland, Wyoming Mormon Trail Mission. In case you've been to those and said, you know, this is getting a bit stale, what we need here is to mix up the leadership. Well, today is your day, folks. New leadership coming your way. Who knows what'll happen?
Who's over what? Actually, we don't care.
No, it's no one we know. These are just wonderful people who will be looking out over these things.
Jeff, will you serve a mission as an old man?
I'd like to.
You should.
What about you?
Yeah. No, I'll do it right now. They won't let me back out there.
They won't let you.
Even if I...
They would let your girlfriend. Your girlfriend could go. They'll let her.
No, yeah, that'd be nice. I can't go, though. In fact, I can neither go on a mission nor serve in the temple. I'm too old and single.
True. Did I tell you I looked into that recently? Because I've always heard, you know, if you're over 30 and you're single, they don't let you be a temple worker.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, maybe you have insights on this, Al. I actually was in contact with a member of the temple presidency out here and said, what's the reason behind that? I hear urban legends, but do you have info? I still didn't get much concrete, unfortunately. Just that they knew it was a policy, and it is a policy.
It is a policy. There's no reasoning behind it. It's sort of like why the Sunday school president has to be a man.
Yeah.
Same, just mythology.
But what do you think the reason for 30 is? Like, because they don't want you to waste one night a week
now,
in the temple
once,
when you can
once
be dating?
Once you turn 31, I think there's a high propensity of just dying in the temple. And if you're not there with a spouse, they might never find you again.
Oh my gosh, nooks and crannies. I just had some friends yesterday tell me that they were at the temple once when somebody did die.
A temple worker, an old person
died in the temple.
But what a way to go, huh?
What do they do in that situation? If you have to get paramedics there, what do they do?
So I've had this. I've had both a man diarrhea all over himself in a session. Also, I've had a man completely faint while kneeling on the in the temple, which is fairly common from what I understand because the blood circulation goes out and they just like pass out. In both of those instances, the diarrhea man, we just helped. They paused the thing. I came in there and helped him to the restroom and got a little Febreze and a washcloth and we moved on. It was fine. That poor guy, though, I'm telling you, when you're all dressed in white, nothing gets away. You can't hide a darn thing. He's like, I'm good. I'm like, no, we're going to throw this away.
So did you leave him in the restroom and someone went and got him like a change of pants from the laundry or something?
That is what I did, yeah. If you can imagine a poor old guy just like, oh, bother. I've made a mess. Like,
now, were paramedics involved in the other case?
No, the other case, so they They pass out. They pause the session. And then they actually just left the girl there, and they got some smelling salts, got her back up, and then escorted her back out to the waiting area. She didn't complete the session, which was fine. But no paramedics were in there.
I'd imagine if an old guy
dies, I think we just roll them into the baptismal font area and let them drift off to sea. I'm not sure exactly what happens in that case.
I'm really curious if anyone else, like, what do you do with paramedics? Because you can't let, they don't have recommends. They're not going to treat that lightly.
No, you absolutely, they absolutely come in.
They just come in?
Yeah.
That's policy?
Yeah.
Do they clear everybody out? Like, what if it's mid-session and everyone's dressed up and such? Do they say, all right, everybody,
nope,
get out of here?
Nope. Paramedics just come in and would do their thing.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very sad if that happens, of course. But
sad somebody died, but... It would be weird if you're a paramedic and you run in and everybody's just like sitting there, just like ho-humming away, waiting for stuff to move on. They might stop the entire session. I've seen that before, and everybody sort of.
I'm guessing if somebody dies, they will stop the session
or just drag him out of the room and move on. Jeff, why should their salvation be put at risk?
I don't know. This kind of like dovetails into the stuff with like Mitt. If Mitt Romney would have won the presidency, what would he have been able to attend the temple? Would the Secret Service men have had to be LDS? You know, so many questions. If he becomes Secretary of State, we might still find these answers. I don't know.
It's so funny. Like as a Secret Service guy, you got to go and join the Masons and the Mormons and level up so that you can get going on it.
That'd be just funny. Everybody. All right. Another LDS living thing, folks. LDS living, this is disappointing. So this is called 9 Thanksgiving GIFs Mormons Understand All Too Well. Let's go through these 9 GIFs briefly and see how Mormon specific they are. 1, officially beginning the Thanksgiving
dinner. No, Jeff, you can't read through GIFs.
I just realized that when I started, that there's a visual.
Yeah, element. Well, so essentially these are all just... Thanksgiving themed, not Mormon themed.
Yeah, hoping the turkey turns out right. Try not to steal yummy treats when no one's looking. When someone steals your spot on the couch, remembering your cousin's names. No room at the table.
Whatever. All right, we're not talking about this.
The moment mashed potatoes run out. Like, what is the point of this? No one has commented on this.
Another BYU Idaho one. The gorilla that bursts into somebody's. The guy dressed up as a gorilla bursts into somebody's apartment. Ruckuses around, knocks some stuff over, and runs out. The police are saying this is not a joking matter. There is a perpetrator who had unlawful entry into someone's apartment. We will find the gorilla who has done this terrible wrong and punish him.
The best thing is the stock image of a gorilla suit. It's the only picture accompanying the post.
You have a big ape tear into your front room out of the blue, and you'd be scared too.
It's just like a party city.
This is the Mormon equivalent of the clown pandemic.
Dude, I love the clown pandemic, even though it's terrifying because it's completely legal and it's just cracking me up.
You can't dress up as a clown and scare people.
You can. You have every right to be creepy and be a clown.
Thank you, America. Obama gave us that right, and we're not giving it back.
Trump might try to take it away. I certainly hope not, because the clown thing is absolutely outstanding. That'd be so funny.
I'm going to deal with the clown issue right now.
I just love thinking of a gorilla running through the front door, knocking some things over, and running away. And you're like, wait, what?
And your reaction is you call the cops and then try and get them to stop that man.
This actually reminds me, a few years ago, many years ago, a friend of mine and I crashed a party in Newport Beach. And I had my chicken costume, and he bought a gorilla costume. And we drove down there in them and left the car. No one knew who we were. We came into the party, and just we didn't talk to people. Like, I just clucked, and he made noises. And we just hung out at the party in character, never revealed ourselves.
In character, in a chicken suit and a gorilla.
Yes. I wish I had video of it, because you actually had this is, of course, you know, the mid-2000s, where we both played Dance Dance Revolution in costume. In the middle of a big party. It was delightful. And nobody knew who we were.
Were they cheering you on? Did they love you?
Oh, we were huge. We were enormous, and no one knew it was us. And then we left.
Oh, and they were all wondering, who were those cool guys at the party?
Just two people showed up in a gorilla and a chicken costume and just partied it up.
You were somebody's greatest party story that they've ever told. And then these guys came.
You think I'm lame. You think I'm lame and don't have anything good to tell.
No, I have data to back that up. That's not an opinion. let's see. Is it Jim McNaughton? Is that the guy? We got a Mormon.
John Juan.
McNaughton. So if you've been to the BYU bookstore and seen some of those kooky...
yeah, I'm sure they sell those there.
They have before.
They sell McNaughton paintings in the BYU bookstore.
This was a big controversy about this. We talked about it on the show a couple of years ago.
Okay,
anyways,
it's coming back to
so me. John McNaughton, he paints these like ultra right-wing... conservative style, like historical paintings. And so there's one that he painted of like all the founding fathers, a little bit confused, and then Obama standing on his foot on the Constitution while who else? I think that was the whole sum of the painting. And Sean Hannity bought this and is trying to give it to Trump to hang in the White House. It's not going to hang in the White House. No one would let that tasteless piece of crap in there.
Oh, it very well might. And it probably wouldn't, because if I've watched The West Wing, there's a snooty British curator in the basement somewhere.
Yep.
Because, of course, the one who curates these things has to be a snooty British person. An American is not good enough to curate fine art. Can't do it.
We've seen it. But anyway, there was a lot of hubbub around old John McNaughton's kooky paintings that that were purchased as a gift for the Donald. Kind of funny. Way to go, Mormon John McNaughton.
Well, maybe it won't be in the White House, but you could put it in Trump Tower since Melania, Bannon, what's the kid's name? Bronson?
No.
Baron.
How could you not remember Baron?
Since they're staying in New York, they could always add it to that. It might fit the cruise ship aesthetic he's got going on there.
I love it. I want to ride a golden lion someday, Jeff.
Hey, do you remember? You remember the home teaching talk that Elder Holland gave during conference, right?
Yes,
last month.
Yes, the one of the man who was driving his truck and accidentally killed his child. That one.
Yeah, that was part of it. And the point of that part of it was that this man had a home teacher that worked tirelessly to bring him back from the brink. And I can't imagine how you would feel if you accidentally harmed your child in any way, let alone ran your kid over and the kid died. That's just terrible. And it was a very compelling story of the home teacher who worked with him unrelentingly to keep him there and to keep him going and to just stay with him until he could get through it and forgive himself too. So it was one story of part of a great talk. And our good old buddy Kurt over at Leading LDS actually got an interview with John Manning and Troy Russell, the two men involved in this story, which is pretty outstanding. So it's a good pull for Kurt. Very proud of him for that one. So full podcast interview that you can check out with that and hear some of the background and the tale involved in
it.
Wait, is it
was the home teacher or the father?
I believe it's both of them.
Oh, whoa.
So in this interview, he talks with Troy and John. So Troy was the one whose son died, but he was helped out of despair by his home teacher, John Manning. So he gets the father and the home teacher together on one podcast. It's pretty cool. So check it out, guys.
Did you watch, Jeff? I'm asking because I did not. The It's Not Easy Being Black episode at BYU.
I watched the opening reel.
Do you have anything to say about it? This is Peggy Fletcher Stack, of course.
She's awesome. You know, I love Peggy. I feel like she's the only person worth just quoting or citing on our show. She's everything to all of us. I don't mind. I think when you are black at BYU, you are definitely a conspicuous minority. I mean, you are. There's no other way around that in Provo, for sure. And so this piece is interesting because there's no narrative. There's no one. The person who made it is not trying to say, here is my thesis and my point, and I'm showing it to you this way. Instead, she just filmed interviews with people, white and black, and just put them out there for people to observe. And some of it's interesting, where you do see that white students saying there's no such thing as white privilege, which is plenty of people have that view. That's not abnormal. You have one girl who says, an eager white female student says, that Black Lives Matter is great. Is that on campus? Clearly thinking it's some kind of, you know, group, like the... Ultimate Frisbee Club. Something along those lines.
Well, no, maybe she knew what it was, but she was just like, where do they meet?
Yeah, but that's the point. Anyway, point is, from what I've seen, it's interesting. I don't think it's world-changing,
it
but I also
think easy.
From an ethnographic perspective, yeah. It is something worth watching.
I'm actually
informing yourself about.
Yeah, I'm a fan of things that start to ask questions around that stuff. Just in general, I like the conversation that happens around that. Whether or not the media, I mean, a 25-minute video of interviews seems a little excessive. But that I'm just saying that I couldn't watch 25 minutes of an interview from anybody. I mean, if Between Two Ferns was 25 minutes, zero views. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, we once published an episode where I interviewed people in Provo, and that segment on the podcast was 25 minutes long. So
yeah, we lost all our listeners that day. We've learned a lot since then, Jeff. And we gave narrative in between. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So for the production quality I have, I disagree, but the overall tenure or tone I like.
All right. Fair enough. Al, did you know that you can now get a triple combination in Croatian? Starting March 2017.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Now, that's very interesting.
The triple in any language is a fun time. I remember when we got it in Ukrainian. That was a big day.
Yeah, and not every language has it by any means. In Croatia, you know, there are no stakes in Croatia. Croatia has a number of branches, but doesn't even have that many branches. I think Croatia has grand total just Croatia itself, what, 6 branches in Croatia? And then there might be Croatian-speaking branches in Bosnia. Not quite sure about any of that. But point is, not huge. And yet, they get a triple, which I think is great. Good for them.
Good work.
Croatia's a beautiful country. We got that from LDS Media Talk. Also at LDS Media Talk, we found out that the lesson schedules tool on LDS.org is being discontinued.
It's a tragedy. We all love the lesson schedule tool.
Oh, tell me how you've used it over the
years. I've never used it. I would never do that, but it was a nice feature.
For context, only 2.5% of the church's branches and wards have used this tool. 750 out of about 30,000 wards and branches have used it. And all it was an online place where members could see the lessons that were being taught each Sunday.
Yeah, no one's going to use that. That's a bad idea. Don't bother building it, people.
Yeah, it was technically goofy. There was no need. There are other ways to do that, too. Just have a Word Facebook page and publish it. You know, follow Sunday School Bonanza, our podcast that goes over lessons. So many other options.
Yeah, so mainly our podcast, I think.
You know what else? By the way, you know what else is sad about this ward change stuff? I can't get on LCR anymore. My records are gone, and I'm apparently no longer an Elders Quorum president. I have no access to leader and clerk resources. None.
We're so addicted to that. I'm actually glad they took it away because you quit loving your wife while you would surf that LCR. You remember the early days of the internet when that was all the rage? Where like, she sits and surfs the internet all night. Her marriage is going to pot.
You can find a lot of those videos on YouTube.
Yeah, it's true.
Internet was a big deal. I remember in high school, guys would hang out and go in chat rooms on AOL.
Let me make a plug real quick for the Internet History Podcast. I discovered this recently and have been listening through. There's about 100 and some episodes, and they are delightful. It starts from the Mosaic browser, even before the Lynx browser, and walks us all the way through. So I'm like, right now I'm in the middle of Yahoo being started in a trailer out by Stanford. It's tremendously well done. It's very, very entertaining, and it's fun to go back through AOL and all those early startups that define the internet we have today.
Have you ever read the book Googled?
Yes, and searched. Okay, and I've read most of the Google stories.
Googled was a good book. I've enjoyed that one.
I got a bunch of them for you, Jeff. If you ever want them.
I am always a willing recipient of Al Doan's book, his library of
You should
success.
Come and stand on my ladder and slide down the library wall and just pick books out at random and say, what about this one?
Stuff like, There must be more than this provincial life.
Just watch, I'm going to make Belle my wife. Anyway.
I would like to embarrass myself again because of emotions. I put on Beauty and the Beast with my son last week. Hadn't watched it in years. I think I was inspired because I dropped the trailer for the live action one. Anyway, that is a great movie. And I got teary-eyed.
Wait, what part? Crazy old Maurice raving?
No. Al, after all the things are happy when they have the beautiful Beauty and the Beast CGI ballroom sequence.
Yeah.
And the Beast asks Belle if she's happy, but she says, well, then I miss my dad. I want to see him. And then the mirror shows that her dad is in the woods crawling around for some reason. And the Beast says, just go to him. You're not my prisoner anymore. And he lets her go. And then Cogsworth says, wait, what? You let her go? Why? We were doing so well. And he says, because I love her. And it's the moment when the Beast experiences the catharsis.
You're taking me there right now.
Where he says that her needs are greater than my needs. I love her and I want her to be happy. I have to let her go.
I love her and in the end it's...
the mistiness happens. Oh. And then when the Beast gets stabbed by Gaston in the end and she's crying over his body.
And Guy was saying, like, no, please what don't are leave you me. Saying?
By then, Guy had given up and taken to throwing things around the house.
As
so
he's
I was
prone to do.
So by that point, I was alone in my tears with no one to comfort
You've
me.
Said that so many times in your life.
I'm not ashamed.
Here I am, ashamed. Alone in my tears.
There he goes to write his great hit song, Alone in My Tears.
Here, I give you this. Have you ever seen this YouTube video? It's 15 seconds. It's worth you watching.
Where are you sending this to me?
On the G-Chats. This is Maurice raving. I think this should be our lead-in for the show this week.
I'm watching.
Right? Yes. This is what I think of every time you give me Beauty and the Beast. Crazy old Maurice.
I can't continue the show. You're going to have to finish this out.
All right, people. We actually have one sad one. We've had a whole run of good ones, but there's a seminary teacher in Colombia, which if you've watched Narcos, it's a terrible show on Netflix. Don't watch it, but it was a phenomenally well done.
Where are your standards, Al? You used to mean something.
No, season two, there's no nudity. It's just death and drugs.
Finding out that you watch Narcos is like when I looked at my Hulu, which I share with my dad, and saw that Showgirls was in the queue. It is that level of disappointment. Okay.
Well, anyway, Colombia is a dangerous place, and a seminary teacher was jumped and killed there, which really sucks. So it's a bummer.
That does suck.
It is very sad.
Lastly, there's a coloring book. For family history.
Finally.
You can color your family history. It's from the church. You can buy it for 85 cents plus shipping, I guess. I don't know. Just color the family history.
Anyway, you can find us at thisweekinmormons.com or email us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com anytime. We'd love to have you.
I would like to once again remind you, we've had some submissions. Al, you weren't on last week. I put out submissions for essays to win a free Twim shirt.
Whoa, okay.
Depending on supply.
You owe me one of those, remember. I think I told you. You have to give me one.
I thought you got some for yourself, too.
No, you got our whole batch. I need one extra large, please.
Okay, fair enough. So, depending on supply... For those who missed it last week because you tuned out earlier on, which I understand, shouldn't do that, send an essay to contact@thisweekinmormons.com explaining why you deserve this beautiful orange shirt. This beautiful shirt. And the winner, I'm only going to give it till next week. And then the winner we will announce and we will send you a shirt. We will hold true to our
beautiful.
Promises. Now, likewise, you can join us on social media, Facebook and such. Write us a review on iTunes and... hang out with us. I look forward to those submissions. I've had a couple good essays come in.
That's actually awesome. Good idea.
The competition is fierce.
Good idea.
So be big on that. Anyway, but thanks for listening. We appreciate you taking the time to do it. Al, I'm glad you're feeling better and glad that you got to go to the best country on earth.
Portugal.
I love it. Well, sure, yeah.
Looking at you, Josh Felt. Anyway.
Portugal is the New Jersey of Spain, but anyway.
See you, buddy.
Anyway, well, I'll talk to you later. This Week in Mormons is out. See ya.
This Week in Mormons.com.
It's over!